my God. My mouth is watering. They just walked in the studio. Curtis, are you okay? Good job wearing a white shirt tonight.
Not a good move on my part.
Smart. Most of us will be barbecuing Labor Day weekend. Let's bring in an expert. He is the owner and chef of Smoke Barbecue. It's Barry Sorkin. Wow. You have a plate of ribs right in front of you.
Yes. I never like to come empty-handed.
Thank you for coming in.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Are you an expert on ribs?
I like to think so.
When did you start barbecuing? Did it run in your family? This had to come from somewhere.
No, I mean, I grew up in a Jewish family, so ribs were not on the menu
like
often.
Barry Sorkin, you should be a producer in Hollywood.
Right. Well, I chose a different path. But, I started cooking in my backyard probably when I was in my mid to late 20s.
Okay.
Kind of did it as a hobby for a while. Worked for it in a corporate job for about 7 years and just sort of barbecued on the side to keep my brain from going insane. And just kind of came to a head where it was like, man, I really like doing this, and I really don't like going to work. So I thought I'd see if I could find a way to make that work.
So let me get this straight. You had a real job, a corporate job, and you just, were you the guy in the neighborhood that everybody wanted to come over because they knew that you were barbecuing?
Yeah.
I have a neighbor like that. He's got two different grills. Did you have two grills?
I had multiple grills. And do you also tell this guy every day that he should open up a restaurant? Because I got that a lot. I was like, oh, you should open up a barbecue place.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I never took it all that seriously until one day I did.
Wow. And how long? So you worked in the corporate world for how many years?
About seven.
Seven years?
Eight, yeah.
Did you go to a restaurant and start working there, or did you just open up your own place?
You know, I'd work in some restaurants while I was going to college and in between colleges and at various times in my life. So I'd been exposed to the industry, but I had never run a restaurant. I never owned a restaurant. Didn't really have a very deep background.
I love this story.
Yeah.
Because you just did your own research, didn't you?
I did. I did a lot of traveling. I went and ate barbecue in as many places as I could. I spent as much time in my backyard as I could. And, you got to make a lot of bad barbecue before you get it right. So it's trial and error.
Where's the first place you go to check out barbecue?
In what region?
Anywhere. You tell me. Do you go to Kansas City? Do you go to Texas? Where do you, Memphis?
There's a lot of great places around the country. My favorite region is Texas. I like Central Texas barbecue.
Okay.
As well as anything.
Where did the barbecue come in Kansas City? They're known for barbecue. Why is that?
You know, I don't know. I mean, it's kind of a beef town, and yet their barbecue is much more pork focused. So I don't really know the history of Kansas City barbecue, to be honest. I can tell you more about the history of Texas barbecue, but I don't know Kansas City quite that well.
Where do you go in Texas?
I like some of the old school places. I mean, there's a whole new generation of barbecue in Central Texas. You've got Franklin's that has sort of spawned a whole new generation, but I also like the old school places. I like Louis Mueller's. I like Kreitz's. I like Luling City Market. So I mean, I could go on.
Give me the difference between the old and the new in Texas.
I feel like the old school, I mean, a lot of these places, you walk into them, they don't even look like restaurants. They look more like, you know, prison blocks. You know, they're dark. They're all concrete and brick. The pits are made of brick. You know, in some cases, they've got open fires just burning on the floor and the smoke just kind of being sucked in to the side. I mean, you could trip over it. I could show you pictures.
You're kidding.
It's crazy.
Wow.
And they're usually doing a real simple, you know, old school method. They're cooking, generally seasoning just with salt and pepper. They're cooking over post oak. But these are places that evolved out of old butcher shops, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of that, that generation of migrants that came to this country, they didn't know much other than butchering meat. And so they opened up these butcher shops, and what they did, you know, when meat was about to go bad, they would smoke it to get an extra couple of days out of it. And that's sort of like the origin of Texas barbecue. And many of them don't look all that different. They look like these old industrial buildings. And they're just, you know, they're just cooking, and there's a guy with a cleaver.
Barry Sorkin's here from Smoke Barbecue, S-M-O-Q-U-E. Why S-M-O-Q-U-E?
Well, we thought we were being clever.
Uh-huh.
You know, like Q, like barbecue.
Sure.
But mostly it just confuses people. They tell us they can't find us online. They can't,
you know. Well, that's when you have to get both spellings. So you got to get it in there.
Right.
Yes. Nice. You make your own sauce.
We do. We make it.
Where do you start? I mean, do you find a sauce that you like in Texas and you think, okay, I'm going to make it even better in Chicago?
You could do it that way. I mean, that's not really the way we came about it. I mean, to me, great barbecue is all about a balance of flavors. You know, you've got the smokiness in the meat. You've got the sweetness and maybe a little spiciness from the rub. And then you've got the tanginess and maybe even a little more sweetness in the sauce.
Right.
So it's like all about bringing those things together. And you can use any of those elements to create, you know, the different flavor profiles. So if you were going to do a sweeter rub, you might go with a tangier sauce. If you were going to do a spicier rub, you might go with a sweeter sauce. So you
okay.
can do it.
Right.
You can go about it in a lot of different ways. But that's how we came at it. It's like, what do we want the end product to taste like? What do we want? You know, which flavor elements do we want the various components to contribute? And
right.
then you build them from there.
How long did it take you to perfect this?
Oh, God. I mean, hours and hours and weeks and months. Because, you know, for the brisket, for example.
I mean, I can't wait to talk brisket. It's on my list here.
Well, you know, I mean, it takes 14 hours to make a brisket. And so...
low and slow, people.
That's how you got to do it.
Yes, definitely.
And it doesn't do any good to taste the rub not on a brisket. And so every time you add something to the rub, you got to go, oh, now I got to cook a brisket. And you go, no, you know, it's a little too much salt. You adjust the salt down. Now I got to make another brisket.
Oh, my gosh.
So it's not like cooking chicken breasts where it's like, all right, I'll do it in 5 minutes.
Right.
I'll adjust the seasoning. I'll do another one. I mean, it's a months-long process of getting a rub right.
I'm telling you, I've been to so many people's houses where they have the green egg outside, and they always overcook the brisket. People overcook it.
It's really hard.
I know. Brisket when do you hard. Stop? Do you have the app? How does that work? What do you do?
Well, I mean, we...
with the thermometer in it? Because, you know, you have the thermometer, and you can look at your phone, and you can see it. Okay, it's at a certain temperature. We got to pull it off.
Well, brisket's particularly tough because half of it is... twice as thick as the other half of it.
Yeah.
And so by the time that thick half is done, it's really easy to have dried out the thinner half.
Right.
And so, I mean, a lot of it has to do with the way you trim it. We try to trim down our briskets to kind of flatten them out a little bit so that they're a little bit more even and cook a little bit more evenly. It's also about knowing, like, where your hot spots, particularly at home, where your hot spots in the smoker are, and you want the thicker part of the brisket facing those hotter spots.
Okay.
And the thinner part facing the cooler spots. But it's also about pulling it at the right time. I mean, there's a pretty short window between done and overdone. You know, you could do it by temperature. Typically, you know, we look for about 200 to 203 degrees at the thickest point.
Okay.
But, you know, you do enough of meat, you can do it with your finger. You can just feel it. You know what it's
really? Yeah. You're so used to that now.
Yeah.
I mean, the first time you cooked brisket, did you overcook it?
You got to make a lot of bad barbecue first. There's no doubt about it. Yeah, I mean, I'd be lying if I said I didn't have a lot of disasters.
So how long for the brisket?
We do it, you know, depending on the size, anywhere between 12 and 14 hours.
12 and 14 hours.
Yeah.
God, that's wonderful.
That's assuming you're using a whole packer cut. Like a lot of grocery stores will sell what's called a brisket flat,
okay.
which is a much smaller version of the cut. Not good for barbecue. If you're trying to cook a brisket and you get a brisket flat, which is actually the more expensive cut.
Really?
It's good for braising. It's good for making corned beef, but it's not good for smoking because it doesn't have enough internal fat to stay moist during the long cook. So by the time it's tender, it's also dry.
So if I go to Costco and pick up a brisket, that's not good?
Some Costcos will have a full packer cut, but make sure you have, you know, it should weigh between 12 and 14 12 to 14 pounds.
Okay.
When it's whole. Some Costcos have them, some don't.
Okay. Got it.
But if you see a cut that's 6 or 7 pounds, that's probably a flat.
Barry Sorkin's here. Smoke Barbecue. How many locations in the city?
One and a half. We've got our original location on Pulaski, which is our full full-on experience. And then we've got a food hall location at Revival Food Hall downtown.
Food halls are the next big thing, aren't they?
They are. They're popping up everywhere.
Now, what is that? Is it just a food court? They just call it a hall?
It's kind of what a food court always should have been. You know, it's a food court, but instead of, you know, your average run-of-the-mill chain restaurants, you've got a lot of really great local brands and local restaurants that are putting out great food.
So it's exactly the same thing, but it's local.
Right, right. And it's better. I mean, you know, Revival has got just a great selection of restaurants. You've got, you know, Budlong Hot Chicken. You've got Taco. Not trying to plug anybody, but
sure.
I mean, you've got a lot. You've got
Budlong was in here. They did something at Lollapalooza, and they came in. They have another great store. There's a lot of these local places here in Chicago that just kind of came up.
Yeah.
You know, and you root for people like that.
I think Chicago is friendly to local restaurants. You know, not so much... From a regulation standpoint, but I think the population in Chicago likes their local restaurants.
Are we a foodie town now?
I think we are officially a foodie town, and have been for a long time. I think we're officially a barbecue town now.
I know. When did that happen? Like
I think
three or 4 years ago?
I think it started to happen. I mean, we've opened about we were open about 12 and a half years ago.
Okay.
And there wasn't a whole lot then. And since we've opened, I can probably count 40 places that have opened. And many of them have done well. So I think Chicago's officially a barbecue town.
How come you're not 450 pounds? You're in great shape. You look like you're a marathon runner.
I'm not. I can promise you that. But I will tell you that the stress of running a restaurant counterbalances the eating habits that come with running a restaurant.
Yes, you don't feel like eating because you're stressed out.
Yes.
Barry Sorkin's here, Smoke Barbecue. What's your website?
It's www.smokebarbecue. It's smokuebbq.com.
Okay, we're going to take a break and come back. I'm going to ask you about the kind of wood you use. We're going to talk rubs, and maybe you can give some pointers to people that are barbecuing this weekend.
Okay.
All right, it's 720 WGN. 720 WGN, Pete McMurray in the Skyline Studios. In studio with us is the owner and chef of Smoke Barbecue, SMOQUEBBQ.com is their website. It's Barry Sorkin. Let's talk rubs.
Okay.
How do you come up with a rub, and how do you know what works?
Well, you know, when I start a rub, I always start with the salt level. Because, you know, you can, with other ingredients, you can adjust up and down. Like, if I want to have, you know, cumin as part of my flavor profile, I can have heavier cumin or lighter cumin. But there is a right amount of salt and a wrong amount of salt. And so, like, I start with how much salt do I need.
Okay.
And then I start with, then from there I go to how much total rub do I want on that slab of ribs.
I'm taking notes, by the way. I just want you to know.
Yeah,
that's
please.
What I'm writing. Okay, keep
well,
going.
I better make it profound then.
Yes.
And then, so once I know that, let's say I want a tablespoon of salt per slab, and I know that I want 3 tablespoons of rub, then I know I've got 2 tablespoons to work with to build the flavor profile.
Okay.
And then I can start playing with different ingredients. But I think when you're building your first, start simple.
All right.
There's a lot in barbecue culture about trying to find that secret ingredient and what's that, you know, that special thing that's going to make my ribs unique or my brisket unique. And I think, especially when you're starting, like, simple barbecue is good. You can make great barbecue, as I said, in Texas with just salt and pepper. The more important thing is, you know, smoke it right.
Right.
And cook it properly.
Don't overcook it.
Yeah. And so, you know, I tell people to keep it simple and then build from there. You know, start with salt and pepper, maybe add a little sugar if you want, and then start adding things and tweaking and adjusting from there.
It takes a while, doesn't it?
It does.
Your favorite sauce, what do you like?
Favorite commercial sauce?
Yeah, well, just your, yeah, I like the vinegar sauce.
Oh, favorite style.
Yes, favorite style.
It depends on what. Like, I like a vinegar sauce on a pulled pork sandwich.
Okay.
But I like a thicker sauce on ribs. I think it clings a little better. Like, I wouldn't put a vinegar sauce on a slab of ribs. And on brisket, candidly, I mean, I get, you know, whacked in the head for this because I know people put sauce on our brisket.
Okay.
I like brisket without sauce. Like, if brisket is
really
cooked properly, sauce should be optional.
Nice and tender.
Yes.
Hold on. We have Curtis, who just walked in the studio and grabbed some ribs. What are you, Mike 6? Okay.
Yeah, I'm over here.
Okay, go ahead.
It's phenomenal.
Are you a barbecue expert?
Well, not an expert, but I could be known to judge a few barbecue competitions every once in a while.
All right.
It's really good. It's really good. We had David Jennings in here earlier.
Oh, my gosh. I wish we had a camera. As soon as Barry started on the air, Jennings at a beeline came in the studio within 2 minutes.
I walked very quietly and deliberately. It wasn't a beeline, but this stuff is outstanding.
Well, the meat just falls off the bone. That's the key, isn't it?
And it falls off in one big piece.
Barry, how do you do that with ribs consistently?
Well, truthfully, I mean, a lot of people would say they shouldn't fall off the bone. And, like, the idea is that they should come off the bone clean. You shouldn't have to fight. But, you know, you also don't want ribs that are so tender that they're just kind of falling apart on you. I like it to have a little bit of texture.
Okay.
These traveled. These had to get wrapped up and packed up, and they make their way from the restaurant to the studio.
Right.
So, you know, they had just come out of the smoker. They were still hot, so they did steam a little bit in there, and that's part of the reason that they're as soft as they are. But generally speaking, what we're going for is, you know, it should be a clean bite. You shouldn't be tugging on it. It shouldn't come out stringy, or it should come off cleanly and easily.
Right.
But not like, why is there even a bone there, you know?
Right, definitely. I want to get back to brisket for a second, because when you take the brisket off the grill and it sits on the plate, it's still cooking.
Right.
And that worries a lot of people, so they pull it off early.
Yes, and that's a good idea. You're going to get 5 to 10 degrees of carryover cooking when you pull a brisket off at, you know, 190 degrees, 195 degrees.
Right. Wow. I mean, this is... I love barbecue.
Me too.
I mean, it makes everybody happy. People are going to be barbecuing this weekend at their houses.
Yes.
Can you give them some advice, first of all, on the meat?
Yeah. You know, I think it's important to start with a good product. I think, you know, yes, barbecue will elevate any piece of meat, but, the better you can get, the better your end product's going to be. I mean,
right.
If you're cooking a brisket, a higher grade of brisket's going to have more, you know, intermuscular fat. That's all going to melt down and turn into, you know, juiciness in the meat. Whereas if you get a really lean brisket, you're just not going to get that.
Right.
So I would definitely start with as good a cut as you can. If you're cooking ribs, you know, look for nice marbling on the exterior.
Fat is flavor, isn't it?
Fat is flavor. There's no getting around it.
How about rubs for ribs? Simple.
Start out simple, and I have to, you know, come clean. We don't keep it simple at the restaurant. I mean, there's like 15 different ingredients.
You've been doing it for what, 12 years, you said?
Right.
Okay.
Right. But I mean, you know, if you know, and feel free to do that, but I think you're always better off with fewer ingredients than some wrong ingredients or some ingredients that are out of balance. And the more you add into it, the more it's got to be right. Whereas, you know, you start with salt and pepper, as long as you don't oversalt it, it's going to be good.
Right. Okay. Well, can people get the barbecue flavor without a smoker? Can they get it on a normal grill? Do they have to get different pellets or that little that steel cup thing that you can, put the chips in?
You can get, it's going to be real tough on a gas grill. I mean, if you've got like a Weber kettle, you can smoke meat on that. You know, you want to set up a fire on one side of the grill, put your meat on the other side of the grill so you're cooking over in direct heat.
Right.
You can throw some wood chunks on there directly on the grates or directly on the coals, rather, to create some smoke. It's not going to be the same as cooking on an offset, but you can do a pretty good job. It's real difficult to get any real smoke flavor on these larger cuts of meat using a gas grill and chips.
I mean, look at everybody. Here comes Duffy. I mean, people are just coming in and just grab. See, you make everybody happy. You do.
We feed the hungry.
This is your job. Thank you for coming in, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I mean, you know everything there is to know about, barbecuing. I mean, you're a fun guest to have in.
Well, thanks. Let's talk again.
You could be our go-to guy.
All right.
Our go-to barbecue guy. Barry Sorkin, smokebarbecue.com, smokuebbq.com, and you have some great food on the menu. Give me your favorite sides before we go.
I like mac and cheese.
How do you go wrong with mac and cheese?
You can't.
Yeah.
You can't. Even bad mac and cheese is really good.
How about beans? Do you like the beans with the barbecue?
I do.
Because I'm not a beans guy.
I do. I think, you know, there's two styles of beans
that I like. Which is a good
thing. We do a Kansas City style bean at the restaurant, which actually goes in the smoker for about 3 hours. We put it in a real shallow pan.
Well, that sounds wonderful.
We put it underneath.
Is there bacon in it?
There is, a little bit of pork fat,
uh-huh.
But more importantly, it goes underneath the ribs that are smoking, and so those ribs, as they're cooking, are dripping into the beans.
Oh, my God. That sounds wonderful. Brisket chili is on your menu.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
That's wonderful.
Brisket chili is good. Brisket chili is good.
Yes. Hold on. Duffy just walked in.
Let me just explain what happened.
Yes.
They said there's barbecue in the studio.
Uh-huh.
And I said, you know what? We get food at the radio station a lot.
Yeah.
I've been eating too much of it this summer, plus mm-hmm. the partying in the backyards. And
right, of course.
And drinking. So I said, you know what? I'm trying to... It's smoke. And I'm like, with the cue.
I guess.
And they're like, yeah. And I'm going, okay. And I just started trotting down the hallway.
Uh-huh. Smoke with the cue.
And I got that. No, the light's on. You. No, coming right in.
People don't care. They see barbecues from Smoke Barbecue
smoke
and they
the
come
best.
Right in. Barry Sorkin, thanks for coming in, man.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
We'll see you soon. It's 720 WGN.